Hello and welcome to the Monday, June 30th, 2025 edition of the SANS Internet Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today's episode is brought to you by the Master's Degree Program in Information Security Engineering with SANS.edu, and it is recorded in Stockholm, Germany. I want to start today with a little note about Scattered Spider. This is not news by any means. Scattered Spider has been around for a while now. It, however, keeps being around, keeps hitting the news because they use a technique that has historically been uniquely successful, and that's social engineering. If you remember groups like Lapsus, for example, which, you know, as it later turned out, were in no way sort of not super sophisticated nation-state actors, really just, you know, teenagers basically conducted attacks and were able to breach fairly well-defended organizations. Same with Scattered Spider, even though I haven't really seen any sort of real attribution what Scattered Spider may sort of be all about. But what I want to point out here is a couple of things. First of all, Mandiant came up with a nice document, Defend Against Scattered Spider, in particular focus on some of the identity aspects here. So better monitoring of your identity endpoints to maybe detect some takeovers here. Also, when you're thinking about user education, also consider that when reporting attack attempts is an important part here. It's really not realistic to attempt to train every employee in a large company to detect these attacks, but some may detect them, and by reporting them, you may then be able to detect successful attempts as well. So keep that in mind, and also, like, if you're rethinking some things like, for example, password resets, particularly two-factor authentication resets, that's sort of often not very well done part here. Try maybe to rely less on anonymous help desks, but maybe, you know, get more colleagues, direct supervisors involved in that, which usually works better. They usually have a better way to identifying and authenticating a particular user they work with on a day-to-day basis. Now, and back in March, AMI published a vulnerability in its BIOS. Well, it's actually in the Redfish part. If you're not familiar with Redfish, it's one of the commonly used web-based remote access management tools that sort of allow you to access servers out of band and do things like firmware upgrades, power cycle, and the like with these servers. This vulnerability was back in March, also written up by Eclipsium, the company that originally found the vulnerability. And back then, really, there was pretty much an exploit available for this very simple authentication bypass. It just requires adding the right additional header to the request, and you would be able to basically execute arbitrary commands without having to authenticate. Well, CISA now added this vulnerability to its already exploited vulnerabilities list. So it's now officially being exploited in the wild, something you definitely must address now. I know it's not always easy to update BIOSes. And given that it was released in March, that gave you now about 3-4 months, which still is a little bit a tight deadline for a vulnerability like this. So definitely try to accelerate this and try to get this vulnerability back. And talking about BIOS updates and, well, things that take some time and preparation, Microsoft is alerting everybody to get ready for the expiration of the original secure boot certificates next year. So just a year from now, June 2026, the certificates will expire. Turns out it's 15 years that Microsoft originally introduced secure boot. Now, Microsoft's Windows Update will give you new certificates. However, there is a little complication here in that it only really works for you if your system is sending diagnostic data back to Microsoft. Since these are really, you know, part of the BIOS, they are somewhat specific to the machine you're running, and Microsoft is collecting data as to what machines they need to push out these certificates for and how to push them out. So definitely make sure that you're allowing that data to be sent back. If not, well, refer to Microsoft's additional analysis. Also, if it's a more enterprise-managed system, Microsoft did publish a blog post with various scenarios and how to make sure that you will get these updates over the next year. There's also the complication if you're still running Windows 10. The update will only be available till October this year. So definitely either make sure you get it updated before then or update to Windows 11, which is probably the right option anyway, but you may run Windows 10 for some specific software compatibility issue. Microsoft also published a fairly extensive blog post about its resiliency initiative that basically outlines future changes Microsoft is going to make to Windows in order to make it more resilient, more secure. One of the sort of big, somewhat controversial items here that arose from the Cloudflare incident is that Microsoft will make it more difficult or impossible for software to actually live in the kernel. In particular, security software, of course, has often taken advantage from the additional protection that the kernel provides, so running with kernel privileges, and also sort of the access to any metrics and such that this provides. But that may no longer be possible, so we'll have to see how this will all work out. But interesting blog post to read to get a little bit of insight into what Microsoft is up to. Well, and this is it for today. Now, today, or this week, rather, is, again, sort of a travel week for me. Also, there is a holiday, July 4th on Friday. So my current plan is to only release one more podcast this week, and that would be for Thursday, July 3rd. So no podcast Tuesday, Wednesday, but Thursday there will be one. And then, of course, no podcast on July 4th. Thanks for listening, and talk to you again then on, well, July 3rd, on Thursday.